Okay, I started up the recording again, so this is part two of the June 26th SCJFL business meeting. It's now 2:10, so we'll reconvene. Just for quick clarification, let's do another quick round of roll call just so we know who's still here and who's still participating in the meeting. So I'm Robert Cannon from Wilshire Academy.
Mike Kyle, number 42.
Ralph Seymour, Vernal Heights Academy.
Allison Hester, Jefferson Middle School.
Longview Middle School.
Jim Dobson, Confident Classrooms.
Kate, would you mind stating your name again?
Sure. Kate Miller, Walter Reed Middle School.
Eber Dogan from Nova 42.
Allison, did you state your name?
Yes.
Oh, she did. Okay, cool. And then Stella, Ricardo, and Min.
Ricardo Velasquez, Velasquez Lange, Leadership.
Yeah, Stella, Velasquez Lange, Yours Leadership.
Okay, and the Min, are you with us? Okay, it sounds like, I think Min might be here, but she's listening and was having mic problems. Yeah, okay, so sounds like Min is here from Able to Shine, but is not able to announce herself, so I'll do that for you, Min. Okay, so we're going to continue right along. Where we left off was with the wild card quals for champs. So this was kind of proposed in abstract terms, and we've kind of talked about it briefly before, but I'm not sure that there's a clear recommendation for how we would use a wild card for champs. I'll also say that for champs in the past couple of years, it's an interesting tournament because it's no longer a big tournament. I mean, it was having attendance problems even before we started the qualification issue. I think it just kind of fell on an awkward weekend for some people. But the making it a qualification tournament has made it into more of, I guess, like a precision tournament. It's mainly prelim rounds. It runs a little smoother. We're able to get the schedule down to 2 days and still get a lot of stuff done. And the qualifications, it does tend to turn into only a handful of teams who are really worried about the qualifications. Most teams are more interested in doing the quarterly tournaments, and not everybody participates in the champs tournament. Those that do, it's great. And we are able to take in a few additional wish list people based on that. So I'm not sure how the wild card would play into things or if we need a wild card, but that's kind of the status of champs. Are there any issues or motions for wild card?
I have a clarificational question.
Yeah.
Do we mean wild card within our league, or do we mean like if someone wins a huge tournament outside of our league, that would be a wild card?
That could be a wild card. It's basically, is there a process by which someone who has not qualified for champs could qualify for champs other than the normal means? I think Evan just rejoined us. Evan, are you there? Evan, I want to make sure that you can hear us and we can hear you.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, okay. So I just want to, if you wouldn't mind restating your name for roll call.
Oh, hi, Evan Feldman, Kudos Academy.
Okay, great. So, Ricardo, was there another question, or did you want to comment on this?
I wanted to be in the queue for commenting.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead. So we'll open up discussion.
Okay, so sure. Well, I don't know if they meant internal or external for the wild card, I guess it's open, but I really do feel that we need to be able to, for example, just ironically, in the last 2 years, our team has had the luck privilege of having like a national champion in declamation or humorous at nationals in terms of locum, but neither of those students have been able to get to champs because they didn't participate on the day, on the off day we offered humorous or the off day we offered declamation. So it's just kind of ironic, and it's sort of like regressive to what we're trying to hope to do. So I would like to be able to have a wild card process. Hopefully we can. And I don't know if that's where we would petition to a committee or if it's just a standard process, but definitely we should have something so that our SCGFL best really is the SCGFL best.
Okay. Anybody else wish to discuss this? Evan?
Yeah, I want to back what Ricardo said. That's a fantastic point. I didn't even realize that. Mazel tov to y'all. In terms of what the, like, I think we should decide if we want a wild card process at all. I hope the answer is yes. But when it comes to the conversation of how, I have some ideas, but I know that I'm almost out of time, so we'll save it.
Okay. So is there any other discussion on this? So I think Evan's, while he didn't form it into a motion, I think the motion that is kind of generally the vibe here, if I'm reading the room correctly, is to discuss whether or not we should have a wild card at all, and then that would supersede whether or not, you know, whatever system we come up with. So let's put that into a vote for, if someone would make that motion.
I move that we accept wild cards into champs.
Okay, is there a second for that?
Second.
All those in favor of establishing a wild card process for champs, say aye.
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 Those opposed, say nay. The ayes have it. We will create a wild card system. Now, discussion about what that system should be.
Do our because we're on a new.
I'll reset your.
So I guess I'll throw out my proposal if no one else has something. So one thing that the Tri-County Forensics League, the high school area of the LA County, Santa Clarita Valley, and like Thousand Oaks area, is that. For a whole different thing, but what they do is that the coaches submit blind resumes to a committee. It doesn't have to be like the board committee. We can pick a special committee or we can use the board. But we submit blind resumes of like how the student has done in said event, like how the student is, like what their strengths are, blah, 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 blah. Like, I think we can figure out all the details that we want this to include and not include, but I think a blind application where we take the name off and the school off solves for a lot of the concerns about bias and stuff.
Ricardo?
Oh, sorry. So let's see. Gosh, Evan made me think of something else now. Can I, is there anyone else? Can I pass until I get my old thoughts back?
Is there anybody else that wishes to speak? Nope. Sorry, it's you.
Okay, then it's me. That's me. Okay. All right. I wanted to say that one thing that made me, like a summer ago, I was critical that, you know, if we didn't allow any non-SCJFL tournaments into the calculus for who makes champs, then really it should be called the SCJFL tournament, not the SoCal tournament. Because if it's a SoCal tournament, it should obviously include excellence beyond SCJFL. And so I'm really happy that we're considering this, and I thank everyone for that, because then I think actually now we can actually call it a SoCal champ. But in terms of actually the process itself, I'm open to all suggestions.
Okay, so is there anyone else that would like to speak on this issue? The only thing I'm really hearing in terms of a proposal would be to submit a blind resume, potentially to the board for approval?
I mean, unless we want to, like, draw up a qualification system or, like, do we have, like... I mean, to be fair, yes, probably that reaction, but if we don't, then the board, whoever the committee is going to have to do that.
Somebody... I can't hear you. Hang on, somebody's microphone is open. Is that Mike?
Mike's having the time of his life.
Sorry. I didn't hear that last part of what you said. Can you say what you said?
Oh, I was like, I agree with you. Like, yikes, you know, more conversation about like a qualification system. But I mean, if we don't talk about it now, then the board or the committee is going to do it. So I mean, if we're fine with that, then sure.
So is there a motion on the floor?
I move that we approve a committee to review petitions for students who have excelled outside of who wish to qualify for.
So to be clear, this would be a standalone committee that is centered, like a SoCal Champs committee that would review these petitions. Is that right?
Yes, and I don't anticipate a whole lot of them. Yeah.
I don't think so either. I think this is probably, we're talking five to ten students, right?
Yeah, at most.
Right.
I don't even think that many.
I think most of them are qualifying. We're talking about a very few number of students who are doing this to the level that would even justify a resume to submit.
5-6 kids tops, probably.
I think so. But regardless, are you proposing a standalone SoCal Champs committee?
Yeah, I guess.
So is there a second to create a SoCal Champs committee?
Second.
Okay. All those in favor of creating a SoCal Champs committee to review petitions, say aye.
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 Those opposed, say nay. Okay, the committee will be created. Who's on the committee?
Well, I guess we can't be on it if we have students on it, right?
Well, I think we would need to have, I mean, I know we didn't say a number, but I think you need at least like 3 people from different schools so that you could remove yourself if you're submitting somebody in, right? Like you would, although then it's no longer anonymous, like you know.
We would need like 4 to that way when someone...
Well, the tournament director ostensibly could also come in as a tiebreak, right? Yeah, Mike?
I'd like to nominate Mike Murray from Note 42. Because everybody hates me.
Aw.
I second.
I only second the Michael Murray part.
That's all I second as well.
I only second the everybody hating Mike part.
Didn't Chris Rock have a show like that? Everybody hates Chris.
Are there any other nominations for the committee? Or is it just Mike Murray in a room deciding the fate of all children?
I want to be on it. I mean, I think there's only be 4 kids. Like, it's not a long deliberation list. Yeah, I'll be on it.
Okay. Anyone else? I think we could probably just take volunteers at this point. I'm not even sure that we really need to go through a whole election process, right?
I'll be on it. It's I want to contribute to the league, but I don't want to do a whole board position. So.
Okay, that sounds good. So we got Mike Murray, Ricardo, and Evan. Are we okay with those? That seems like a good, healthy mix anyway. You guys.
We'll basically allow almost everyone. So I'm sure any kid who's submitting has done something really impressive. So basically...
I think you're right. And if you're not, I assume that with the 3 of you, you're going to come up with some really interesting arguments as to why the student should not be let in. So I'm not sure I want to hear that conversation, but I'm sure that you will very thoroughly inspect all that because I know all 3 of your personalities. You'll be fine. So yeah, I'm good with that. Is everybody else okay with that? Are there any objections to any of those committee members? I see everybody nodding their heads and seems to be in agreement. Okay. So we'll move along. Cannot significantly alter the wording of literature for interps. So this is something that I was kind of going through the bylaws and noticed that phrase is not in our bylaws, and it really should be. The idea that students cannot significantly alter... I know NSDA for a while had the rule where you could change up to 50 words or something like that. I know AFA will not let you change the gender of certain literature. We have nothing that explicitly states you can't change the words. And I really think our bylaws should reflect that. So that's the rationale behind it. Any discussion about that? Ricardo?
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm really into interp, so my concern is that, you know, even in the NSDA or CHISA, like, you are allowed to substitute words for clarification, like, not to make your piece funnier or sadder, but rather to, like, for example, or if there's a reference, an allusion to a show that's no longer popular, it was popular 20 years ago, people today might go, huh? So you can plug in a show that's relevant or whatever, you know, just for clarification purposes. I'd like that to still be in there.
Well, I think the way that I was saying it was cannot significantly alter the wording of literature for interp. And that allows the ombudsman some leeway to kind of look at, is this a significant change or are you just changing the name of the TV show from MacGyver to, I don't know, The Office or something like that, right? I mean, if that's not, I would not say that's significantly altering the literature.
Right. Regarding the, I mean, with a lot of the gender issues, like transgender people, I mean, I don't. Do we want to keep that? I don't know. Are you saying we should go down the road of the?
No, I'm just saying that's what AFA has.
I genuinely thought you were going to be like MacGyver. It's McGirlver now, or yeah. Something.
Well,
he's here all week.
So I'm sorry to open this into like a general discussion, but I want to clarify about it. I'm not saying one way about gender or another, but I think the mentality has been, at least in other tournaments, has been that you are significantly changing the intent of the author if the author wrote something for a male and you change it to a female. That has historically been seen as significantly altering the literature, especially if you are female and you're changing it to male, or to a trans person. Like the text starts to take on a different meaning if you are changing the gender, especially when so much of speech deals with gender. I mean, there's a lot of gender-oriented pieces. So to start placing new gender on it would be significantly altering the text. But I'm not saying that we should reflect that explicitly in the bylaws. We can certainly have that discussion. I think that's probably more for the ombudsman and or tournament director to look at when the situation arises. I'm just saying that if I was tournament director or if I was ombudsman and I saw that situation, I would say that's significantly altering the work. And that's based on not only my own personal feelings about the intent of the literature, but also what other organizations like AFA and NFA have done.
Group talking, or are we?
Yeah, I'm just trying to clarify, like what I'm intending to try to communicate. But we could certainly have that discussion, and we could say changes to gender are permitted. You know, we can certainly do that.
I think a lot of heteronormative, orientations were involved with those things. From decades back, and I would feel really. I myself have no student who would have any issues like that. But that doesn't matter. I would feel really bad telling a trans kid that they he or she cannot do X thing. I think our world has progressed beyond that. I would hope we don't have any such artificial stops.
I think the mentality is not that they can't do that literature. They could still certainly do the literature. I could perform literature that was intended for a female, even though I identify as a male. Like, I could still perform that literature. I just can't change the literature to suit my gender. Right, so there's no prohibition about performing anything. You just can't change the text. Evan?
Yeah, so one of the things that I was really appreciative about SCJFL is that in previous years, compared to Chessa, that we aren't as, for lack of a better word, anal about interp scripts. And Chessa and NSDA recently, with the pandemic, got much more lenient about accepting online sources and about you are able to write some of the poetry in your POI, right? And so I think that we should adapt in the same way that they are to make it more lenient, not more strict.
Sure. I mean, I'm not sure how that would reflect on the proposal being made.
It would mean that we wouldn't implement the proposal because it caps.
Anyone else wish to discuss this? Kate?
I'd like to friendly amendment. After Kate speaks.
No, okay. Kate?
You can't hear me. Ricardo, why don't you go ahead and make the friendly amendment, because I'm curious to hear what it would be.
The amendment supersedes a motion to speak.
Yeah.
Oh, well, okay. Well, I was just going to say that... that I would like it to only refer to significantly alter would be to take it off the course of the plot versus I don't feel comfortable. I don't really care. Like, I don't have a dog in the race, but I don't think we should preempt people from changing the gender. I don't think so. I don't think that matters ultimately.
I would not accept that as a friendly amendment.
Okay.
Ricardo, I actually have had students who identified, and I wouldn't accept that as friendly amendment either. And I wouldn't as an English teacher. One of my concerns with some of the politics that goes forward is that kids need to understand the difference between literature as it was written in the time, the place, and the mindset, and their own 21st century views. And I think it's really important that we reflect accurately voices that they want to express. The other thing that the original reason that I wanted to speak was because I think that this language is a little bit vague for coaches and for participants to really understand what is and is not significant. And so I am hoping that Mike, especially because it's going to largely fall on Mike as ombudsman to adjure these cases, that maybe there could be some more specific guidelines in the
wording. That's the time. Okay. Anyone else wish to speak on this issue? Okay, seeing as no one wishes to speak, is there a motion on the floor? No motion. All right, so we will carry on. The next issue is double entry in extent.
I do have a motion.
Okay, what's your motion?
It would be about, any changes. It would just that's very, 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 very unambitious, but. Any changes must be for the sole purpose of clarification. Yeah, so I'm not
changes to the literature must be for clarification purposes only?
Yeah, that's my, yeah.
Okay, is there a second to that? Okay, that motion fails. All right, so the next issue is double entry in extemp, and some other people contacted me about SPAR. So I will. The concept is that double enter. Okay, so SPAR competitors can only single enter, and this is actually written into the bylaws that they can only single enter. I will tell you, just as tournament director from the past, several tournaments, especially the larger tournaments, we looked into that as a possibility for like the national tournament that we ran. And we were like, well, what if we did that? And we really tried to toy with that concept. It's a mess trying to get extemp to double enter. And I understand them kind of swaying the conversation because I initially really wanted to have extemp be double entry. But as scheduling, it's a real, real risk that students will miss their rounds. And it's a draw on tournament resources because we're constantly trying to correct for that. Parents are upset, and then students are upset, and the judges feel like they screwed up. But I do like the idea that students should be able to double enter, and it almost feels like they're being punished for doing extemp. And extemp, I mean, it's such a great event, and it almost discourages them from doing the event because they can't double enter. So I'm kind of torn between these both concepts. Like intellectually, I fully appreciate it, but I think scheduling-wise, there are some problems with this, and I just want to make people aware of the problems with the timing. One last thing, Mike, I just want to clarify one other issue. The prep time has to start, before the round goes out. We've been trying to do it like 15 minutes before the round begins because it tends to be a happy medium. If we were to make that maybe 30 minutes earlier, if like 30 minutes before the first round, they start their prep and then they're speaking right when the round begins, that's possible for them to double enter, but they would have to be listed first. It gets really complex. That's the issue. Okay. Anybody wish to speak on that? Mike?
Yeah, I just want to make the point that it was tough. And for some reasons beyond our control, including the actual proctor and the prep room making changes and then screwing up the ability for the contestant to get to the right round. So I'm not in favor of this at all, of double entry.
Evan?
The reason why I would, at least for extemp, want us to consider it is because it is an event that, isn't offered at every speech tournament, and thus, like, kids that do other events can't, like, if they want to qualify the SCJFL champs in extemp, they have to like give up other events. But also we see on the college level especially, but we've seen on the high school level that extemp can be double entered if you handle it right. Like, it's already built into the forensics tournament software about like the moving kids first. Like, Danny's very familiar with this.
I agree. It's not the software that I'm worried about. It's the end user. But whatever. That I mean, I spiritually totally agree. I think more tournaments and more events for more people. It's the tournament logistics side that I think is problematic. Anyway, Ralph.
I only wanted to address the SPAR issue. For some reason, I thought that there were students, so I don't want to. Yeah.
Let's push that back. Let's talk about SPAR. I want to do extemp first, and then we'll move SPAR.
That's fine.
Are there any other discussion items for extemp double entry?
I have a question. So at the high school and college level, it's routine to allow double entry, right? For with extemp.
Definitely for college. I mean, I guess there's some college tournaments that don't, like they might limit you to double entry instead of triple entry or something like that. Like there are some restrictions somewhat. I don't know so much about high school, but.
Can I ask? Because my hand's up.
Sure, I didn't see you. Sorry, Kate.
That's okay. You never see me. It's all good.
The hand that you put up is blending in with your background. That's why.
Ah, yeah. Bunnies, what can you do? Is there an opportunity to maybe move extent to the debate, to offer during the debate tournaments rather than the speech tournaments? Would that be a possible solution?
That is a possible solution. We can do anything we want. We are not controlled by the alien overlords.
Maybe you're not. I've not been to a debate tournament, so I do not know whether or not that's a workable solution or not.
It is a potential solution. Is there any other discussion on this? Okay, is there a motion regarding extemp double entry?
I move that I like Kate's idea. Like, why don't we move extemp over to the debate side?
Okay, so the motion is to move extemp over to the debate side of the tournaments. Is there a second on that motion?
Can we discuss that?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Well, let's see if there's a second first, and then we'll open
for discussion. I'll second it because I want to hear the discussion.
Okay. So since it was seconded, let's now open it up for discussion.
Oh, I understand. Yes, okay. So there are some teams that do, like, some kids only do debate, some kids only do speech. Like, if you were to move extemp to debate, like, here's where it could be okay. If we did, like, what extemp with what we do at Congress, where we offer it as an additional, but we don't take it, like, we don't take away the fourth Congress tournament to make it available at IE3. If we were to add extemp to, like, one of the debate tournaments, but leave it in the way that it is now, that would increase opportunities, I think that could be a good compromise.
So you're saying not remove it from the existing speech tournaments, but add it to debate in addition to what's already there?
Yeah, like as a rotation. Maybe we do that once a year like we do at Congress.
Okay.
I don't know how. Wait, you wanted to be offered once only?
No. So it would be offered in the normal speech tournaments that it is now. Right. But in addition, similar to the way that Congress is offered at its regular tournaments, but is added to one IE tournament a year, extemp would be added to one debate tournament a year to give additional opportunities for extemp.
I'd like it to be offered at least twice at the debate tournament.
It is. It's
no. He's saying to two different debate tournaments. So yeah. Is that a friendly amendment to add it instead of one debate tournament to two debate tournaments?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it should be offered at the debate tournaments, period. But if that will get his vote, I'll do that. I'll meet him.
Two speech to a debate? I think that's fine.
Okay. So the motion, I think that was a friendly amendment, if I understand correctly. Ricardo is now saying to add extemp to two debate tournaments. And might I also amend, if you're open to it, for it to toggle the one that isn't at speech, yes, right?
Exactly.
And I think the reason why this could function well is because it would
be... Hold on, you're out of order. I want to go in order. So is that a friendly amendment, Ricardo?
Yeah, to have it be when it's not offered, to have it be offered at debate when it's not offered at speech.
Okay. So that's the motion on the floor. Is that seconded?
Seconded.
Okay. Is there further discussion on this?
I just wanted to add a friendly amendment that in so doing, I think we also need to say, but it will not be allowed to be double entered.
Okay. Is there a... I'm sorry. Is there any other discussion on this? Okay. All those in favor of adding extemp to the first and third debate tournaments, say aye.
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 Those opposed, say nay. Okay, the ayes have it. Let me add that over. So... Okay, and so the second portion of this agenda item, which you may not have on your sheet, is the idea of SPAR being no longer double entered. The idea being that because students are expected to ask questions during crossfires and participate in the rest of the round, their double entry is preventing them from having that participation. And so the motion is to limit SPAR to be single entry only.
I have a prerequisite to this.
Yep.
In order for, like, if that's going to be the thing that we discuss regarding, like, the cross-ex, I really think we need some standardization of the cross-ex period in SPAR, because sometimes it doesn't even happen, and if we're going to base a rule on the fact that, oh, we can't because of cross-ex, then we need to make sure that cross-ex is actually happening, and it's happening fairly.
It's in the rules, so I'm not... what happens in round... May not happen because of judge, you know, judge training, but I think we've addressed that already. But let's go in order. So let's go to Ralph first.
Okay. Actually, Evan is right. It's a significant problem. It's a serious problem. I mean, we're coaching our kids to engage in cross, okay, and telling them that they're going to be judged on the quality of their questions, their responses to those questions, and they're supposed to participate throughout the round. And you have judges who have no clue how to run. So that is a significant issue. And then the reason I brought this up in the email to you, Robert, was that if you're double entered, you know, if you're going off to go do another event, well, then you can't, It defeats the entire purpose of Stanford's bar, right? We might as well simply go back to standard or whatever that regular bar was, which was just a win-loss debate, because throw out the whole concept of the other competitors engaging in cross, right? So I mean, it's there's two problems. The one, you know,
that's your time.
That's your time.
All right, Kate.
As far as I remember in the rules, there is no specified amount that the competitors have to have to cede to the audience. And often in the rounds I have seen, the competitors are engaging in so much of the crossfire that they're not calling on anybody from the audience. And I do not want to limit my students' ability to develop in other areas based upon time, based upon not only that 4 minute time divided by, you know, six people who are in the round, but then further diluted by the amount that the competitors choose to call on.
Ralph and then Ricardo.
Yeah, I know I can only speak a second time, but you know, I have to say, then you might as well abandon the event because it's no longer Stanford's bar. They are supposed to be in the round throughout the round and engage in cross. That is the event. And it's, yes, kids want to go and do other things. Well, kids have to make a choice. And so we, you know, if you want to engage in SPAR at a tournament, that's what you do. That means you cannot go and engage in another IE event. You can go and do that at another tournament.
Just point of clarification, the event that we offer is SPAR. It's not Stanford SPAR. There is a difference between what we're doing. Just for clarification, I
understand.
Okay. Yeah. Ricardo?
Right. So I completely agree with what Kate just said. I wouldn't want my students to be precluded from other events also. And also, I saw the semifinals, one of the semifinals and the finals of both our state tournament and the MOF. And I saw, in some cases, zero interaction with the audience because we had two high-level genius kids going at it and having just a plethora of questions. I mean, the 4 minutes wasn't even enough They were just, it was just back and forth, back. It was like a heavyweight slugging fest. So I see no reason to preclude kids from leaving when they may not even be allowed to participate because of the high quality of the exchange, and also that there is no actual instruction for how much the judge is supposed to factor in the questions and answers. But to that extent, I think ultimately the event doesn't require that. I don't think we can hold kids out on those contingencies.
Okay. Mike?
So, I agree with Ralph on this, that, we don't call it Sanford's Bar, but the purpose is to get that interaction. I think if the kids control it, that's part of it. If the kids can and they need to have more questions and we can get the audience involved, that's part of it too, especially if they can, get some challenging questions from the audience. To get it to one side or the other, you'd have to say, okay, they have to take at least one question from the other competitors. But what I don't want to see is the time go down, like the 1 minute spars that go on are worthless. I think that's just akin to policy debate. And I think that, having Stanford spar is an option so that people can have a Stanford like spar, have the ability to have those other people participate is important. So I don't see changing it. And if you don't want to double enter, that's fine. Stay in the whole room. It may give you an advantage. But if you do, then you're going to leave and you may not get questions or answers or whatever.
Okay. Are there any other concerns on this issue? Okay. Seeing as no one else wishes to speak, is there a motion on the floor?
I move to leave SPAR as is.
I'm sorry. I saw Kate first. What was the motion, Kate?
I move to leave SPAR as is.
Okay. So that's not a motion. You would just, you don't need to do anything to leave it as is.
Okay. Then I...
withdraw your non-motion.
Next item.
Okay, so let me just be very clear. Hold on. I want to make sure that I'm not skipping past anybody because I think some people want to try to speak. Is there a motion for change on the floor?
May I ask for some clarification here?
Sure.
Do we need a motion to limit SPAR, okay, to limit students entered in SPAR to just that event?
Yes.
We need that motion, correct?
You would need a motion to do that, yeah.
Okay. Well, I move to limit students entered in SPAR to that event only.
So your motion is to make SPAR a single entry event only?
Single entry event.
Okay. Is there a second?
Point of inquiry, isn't that what it is right now?
No.
No.
It should be, but...
But it's a double entry event.
I'm right on a warning.
Okay, so I want to be very clear. The motion is to make SPAR a single entry event only. Is this motion seconded? Okay, seeing as it's not seconded, that motion fails. Sorry, Ralph.
That's all right.
All right. Moving along, we'll go to pairing strategy for IE outrounds. So The pairing strategy, so let me kind of give some background. I think, I know Ricardo and Stella were upset at the state tournament for the process. It's called snaking. Actually, I'll share the same thing I shared with them just so we're all clear about it because it becomes a little difficult to explain. Let me try to pull this up. Hang on just a moment to get it. Got set up for you. Okay, can you see that? Are you able to see that screenshot that I shared?
Yes.
Okay, so this is the seeding system. So this is for individual events. And at state, for example, there were four rooms for impromptu. And the system takes the first seed position, puts them into room one, then second seed goes to room two, third seed goes in room three, and then fourth seed in room four, then fifth seed drops down. And so you can see why it's called snaking. It kind of snakes its way back over to the eighth seed and then drops down to ninth and then goes over to 12th. This is pretty standard procedure at most national tournaments of how you would pair out the room based on the seeding of the prelims. This also mirrors what we do for debate which is to not break brackets. So those of you that are familiar with the debate strategy, we don't break the brackets so that, say, Athens, for example, which has a large team, they would have to decide who carries over. They don't break out and then debate someone else. All right, so this is keeping in line with that same concept. Once all of the seeds are put into position, it then shuffles the speaking order. So the speaking order, the first seed is not necessarily the first person in room one, right? So the speaking order is shuffled. The idea is, can we move these speakers into a different room if their school has a conflict? So let's take room four, for example. Let's say that the fifth seed and the 12th seed and the 20th seed are all from the same room. And the proposal is to move them into other rooms in order to favor the school protection. The state tournament voted on this, and the state tournament voted to not approve this. So this would only apply at the champs tournament. The local tournaments don't use this system for outrounds. We use a festival final, which still winds up protecting schools. But the champs tournament would use this. I would also say, I don't know that champs is ever going to get big enough to warrant, I don't know, this many elims, but it's the discussion that, do we school protect or do we seed protect? Okay.
May I have a comment?
Yeah, sure. Ricardo?
Right. So I don't think the analogy of the national tournaments is really applicable here, because the national tournaments rarely are going to have four kids in the same event competing. So it's never like what we had was what you described a moment ago, right? Where we had our only three students in impromptu in the same quarterfinal room, and the other three had none of our students, right? And it seemed like if this is so normal, why have we never seen this ever before, right? Where like three or four students of the same school are in one room and in none of the other quarterfinal rooms. So that was the thing. And so I'm not against the idea of equitably distributing things, but I think that the computers are sophisticated enough so that if we want to create a tiered system, we do still want to avoid like cramming all of the students of one team into one room and leaving all the other three quarterfinal rooms barren in terms of that. Like I said, the nationals, there is no concern at the national tournament, because there's very rarely going to be four kids or three kids from the same high school or from the same team vying for that, right? Because it's a qualifier system to nationals. So anyway, yeah.
So when you're talking about nationals, what are you referring to?
High school nationals.
Okay. High school nationals doesn't necessarily, NSDA, I don't think they use this snaking system, since they just have like extended rounds, right? So their system is different. I'm talking about AFA, NFA, the collegiate nationals. They use a snaking system.
All I'm trying to say is that I think we can generally keep it, you know. But if we have a situation where we're cramming all of one team's kids into one room, there should probably be some fail safe on that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, since my name is mentioned, I want to make this thing.
Well, hold on. You're out of order. You got to wait to speak. So, Mike, you were next. You had the floor.
So, you know, you said that the systems are sophisticated enough to handle it. Actually, I don't think they are. You can't be willy-nilly. You've got to have parameters, and you've got to have, an algorithm in place that says, here's what you're going to do. You can't have the if-ands and buts start creating a problem with being clear on judges, being clear on kids seeing each other again. There's a lot of things that are higher priority, and we'd have to be able to define, okay, what are those higher priorities? And the school override will make it so that you could have, you know, your kids getting an actual benefit from being out of this, you know, the snake system, because they now hit lower seeded opponents, and therefore it's not fair that everybody else has to follow the seed system, and then this one school gets an exception because there's more of them. I think it gives too much power to the bigger schools, And I tend to have a lot of people in one event.
That's your time, Mike. Okay. Stella, and then Evan.
Yeah. For this situation, if you count it, especially we're talking about 1/3 of people go to the ELIM round, and at this situation, we have one room is 7 people, and all our 3 competitors in one room. And if you calculate that probability, that's go over like 0.029%, the possibility to be like that, and it's really unfair for us. Our team to squeeze in us 7 people room and all these 3 other room without any of our kids and all 6 students in those rooms, and we have 7 rooms, 7 people in the room and 3 people compete. That's really unfair.
Okay, I want to take umbrage with the term fairness. I'm sorry, I want to interject here. We're following the bylaws and we're following a standard procedure.
Trying to see, not personally unfair, doesn't mean you are unfair. Just the system is not really good for the system, for
right.
the students.
So it may be undesirable, but I really want to avoid terms like unfair because it's...
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. I agree with you. Okay. Just kind of really bad for our kids.
Right, I understand that. Right. So, Evan?
Yeah, so... Like, first off, in terms of the algorithm being, and, you know, like, the if, ands, and buts opening a can of worms, like, high school tournaments and some college tournaments do this all the time. That's one. But two, this idea that only certain schools are going to benefit, like, it's not that only one program gets, you know, they don't have to hit their own kids. All of the teams don't have to hit their own teams. Like, like you take any ELIM that has multiple panels, multiple schools usually have more than one kid breaking. Like, if there's a small school that has 2 kids breaking, 1 in each room, they shouldn't have to go against each other. And if there's 5 kids from another school, 3 in one, 2 in the other. Like, breaking brackets is a reasonable thing to do. Kids should be able to not have to have less opportunities to break or to the next ELIM because they get knocked out by their own school.
Mike?
My last comment on this is that we don't compete for our school. We could care less what our school does. We compete for our kids. And if you think that protecting your school is more important, I think your priorities are in the wrong place. I am vehemently against this. It affects everybody fairly when we snake. It works well. It's a good algorithm. And it makes you hit. If you're a high level, you get protected a little bit. And that's actually better for your school, in the sense that the better kids should be able to get through. And so the better kids is what it's about. Not the school getting through, but the kids getting through. And if you guys can't see that, then you're in it for the wrong reason. I'm sorry.
So, Ralph, did you have something you wanted to say? I couldn't tell if you did.
Well, I just thoroughly want to agree with Mike. I really think it's just about the kids. And I think the system works perfectly fine. It's not about the schools. It's about the students.
Okay. Stella, and then Evan. Stella?
Who supposed to speak?
Stella. Stella has the floor.
Okay. Actually, you know, distribute between different schools is better for students because they usually interface to their own, you know, classmates. It's not good to for them to practice more with them. They need to diversify to different people. All strangers is good for their skills to improve.
Evan?
Yeah. I think Stella makes a good point, and Mike, with all due respect, I resent the connotation that the reason I'm making this argument, or any of us are making this argument, is because we're prioritizing the schools over the kids. So that's incorrect and false, and I'd appreciate if you retract that at some point. But it's literally for the kids that they get to not have to go against their teammate, their friends that they like. They get to, you know, they can practice, as Stella said, in their own, you know, in their academies or schools after programs. But ultimately, it's still doing seating. It just accounts for school protection. This, like, they're snaking. It still does the seed. It still does the snakes. Like, Robert, may I ask to pull up the thing again?
Yeah, it's almost your time. You have 10 seconds remaining. But I can,
right.
I'll pause your time and bring it up.
Thank you.
Okay, your time continues.
Cool. So if you had the 8th and 9th seed, you would just move like the 9 and the 10. So it's similar seeding. It accounts for the snaking, but it still protects so kids don't have to, you know.
That's your time. Okay. We'll go to Ricardo. And then I'm not sure if Mike, you've already spoken twice, so I can't go back to you. We're going to go to Ricardo. And then I think Ralph.
Right. So I billion percent back up what Evan just said. I don't think it's that complicated. I don't think anyone's asking for it. And I've been, I guess, coaching the last 7 years. And before that, I was a competitor. And I've actually never seen ever in my life three competitors from the same school be put in the same quarterfinal. And I mean, so obviously this is really weird and really like strange. And I don't know what happened there. Right. I've never, ever seen that. For this to be a standard thing, and for me never, and I went to AFA Nationals 3 years in a row, so I don't even know how that happened. Okay, but regardless of that, I think we're all here. I'm not casting blame or any negative, nefarious insinuation on anyone. I don't think anyone was trying to be unfair to us at all, right? I'm saying that when it becomes a team having all of their kids jumbled into one room, we should do something about that because they're already used to one another. To a certain extent, they could actually use that as an advantage because they know what their approaches are. So I think it actually, to a certain extent, but I don't want it to be like they're knocking each other out. We shouldn't ask a team to knock itself out. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think that's why we try to avoid it in the first place.
That's your time. Okay, sorry, Mike, I can't come back to you. You've already spoken twice on this issue.
It's, you know what? We do it in debate all the time.
Okay.
We walk over.
So, the Ralph? Speech.
And it's wrong there, too.
Hold on. Wait. You're out of order. So, Ralph?
I've never really coached a large team at any time. I usually have a very small group of kids. I find them, they go into a round, if they were all in the same round, they would all cheer one another. I don't see the point of this discussion at all, quite frankly. I think the system works. If the kids end up in the final round that way, where they're competing against their fellow teammate, they're going to, that's fine, okay? That's the system, and they're going to support one another. It's good for them. It's good for them. It's not bad for them. It's not about the school. It is about the kids, period.
Okay.
I just wanted to clarify something.
Yes, yeah, clarification?
I believe that what we're talking about is not necessarily like a single flight final, but like either a festival finals, but more importantly, like an elim that has another elim, such as a quarter.
Festival finals are spread out already, so it's not festival finals. This for clarification, the state committee discussed this and unanimously rejected changing this policy. So the state tournament will still, because the state tournament is autonomous, they can make their own rules for the state tournament. And that's where this happened. That's where this came up. So the only tournament that this would oversee would be the champs tournament. I don't think the numbers for champs are big enough to ever warrant even a semifinal because it's already limited, right? Most tournaments, most events at champs don't even have a final round. They just go prelims. Even spar that's big enough to have a final, it's not big enough to have a semi. So we're really only talking about the potential for some events in champs to adhere to this rule. But that's the general discussion. I think other people wanted to air their grievances as well. So that's the answer to your clarification question.
I have a clarification on that clarification.
Okay.
We're focusing only on, quote, busting brackets or protecting for...
Breaking brackets, yeah.
Yeah, for speech. We're talking about speech only right now, correct? Or are we including debate as well?
The current discussion is about individual events only.
Cool.
Yeah. Kate? You're muted, Kate.
I don't really even understand what this issue is about. My kids compete. Sometimes they compete for me. Sometimes they compete for Ricardo. Sometimes they compete for Robert. And if they're competing for a different team and they're allied with multiple teams, they're going to compete against people that they're their colleagues, even if we enact this rule. Kids compete against each other. They do it in practice. They do it in initial rounds. So who cares if they have to do it in final rounds? Let the rule reflect what it reflects in states and let the kids compete against each other. I think it's just easy to leave it as it is.
Okay. Any other discussion about this? Okay. Is there a motion on the floor?
I move we move on.
That you don't need to do that. You just wait. So, if seeing as there's no motion on the floor, we will move on to the next.
I mean, there is.
Okay. Yeah. What's the motion?
Motion to adopt the proposed.
So.
What was on the docket?
I think the motion that you're trying to say would be to school protect an individual event elimination rounds instead of the snaking seed system. Is that correct?
Friendly amendment. It would be like seeding. Seeding is the basis, and then it accounts for.
That's school protect. That's what I'm saying.
Right, but I just wanted to make sure it's not swapping.
That's how it works.
You would have to seed everyone in position, and then it looks for multiple schools, and then it swaps the position.
Yes, I wanted to make sure that we weren't saying swap the entire seeding system for the entire school protect system.
System can only happen once everybody is in place.
Right. Yes.
So you're opting for a school protection system instead of the current seeding snake position. Right? It would snake and then school protect.
Yes, that. Snake and then protect.
Okay. So that's the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay.
Nay.
The nays have it. That does not pass. Okay. Moving on to the next issue. So the current system, the current standard in the bylaws is that our season begins officially August 1st. So any events that people have done before August 1st are not allowed. In other words, you can't keep running with the same pros year after year after year, right? This prevents people from using the same event. However, there have been some summer tournaments for people that want to get started a little early, and those are happening in July. And so the proposal is to move that date to begin July 1st instead of August 1st. That way people who want to participate in the summer and go to tournaments can start working on stuff a little earlier.
I second the motion.
Okay, is there any discussion on this?
Could you say it again? I missed it. Sorry.
The start date for new pieces, like the season basically would begin July 1st instead of August 1st. And this would allow summer programs to start working on pieces and even like go to preliminary competitions and things without having to worry about blowing their eligibility.
Oh, why don't we start from just right after the June, everybody's...
That's kind of what I'm saying, yeah. But
yeah, okay.
But this allows you to, like, to the end of June, right? Basically,
and
that's when Nationals is over. So July 1st would be the first date instead of August 1st. Right now, there's this weird buffer zone of July of like, ugh, man, we can't compete in July, but you know, it's like this weird awkward zone. So, is there any discussion about this?
It actually matches up with the new LA Unified year.
Okay, is there a motion on the floor, Mike?
I motion that we adopt this.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those against, say nay. Great, that was easy. Okay, so one of the other issues within debate is that the bylaws indicate that in debate, if someone asks for your evidence, you have to provide that evidence, and doesn't explicitly state for a card, like you have to present a card. And the way the bylaws are written right now, it could be that I could just send somebody a link and say, that's my evidence, which violates other parts of the law. So this is where the bylaws are kind of in conflict with each other. And so we need to add a sentence in somewhere that basically states that students must provide a card with, it kind of lists what a card needs to have. It has to have the author, it has to have the sections that are read, and the like a paragraph before and a paragraph after for context. So for example, if I find a great website that has the evidence, but let's say this website is really, really long with a ton of text. If I'm debating Ebru and she wants to see that evidence, and I go, here you go find it somewhere in this really long website, or if I, you know, hand them a magazine article or a book, you know, a 300-page book, you can't expect the opponent to realistically look through this book or magazine article in the middle of the debate. You have to show them where it was and cut it out for them, and that's your card. So right now, the wording of the rules states that the evidence has to be provided, and really that should be changed over to your card. You have to show them the card, which of course includes the link to the website as well. Right, so that's already included in what a card should have. Does that make sense? Any discussion on this item?
Inquiry?
Yeah.
Because I know about, the, you know, you mentioned the paragraph before and the paragraph after. When kids are cutting cards for, like, and their piece of evidence begins in the first paragraph of the article, I assume it's just...
Yeah, it's the very beginning then. You don't need anything before. There is no other it's for context, right? So that you, like, the author didn't say, so here's a horrible argument that I totally disagree with, and then you're taking what, you know, what the author wrote out of context.
I motion that we adopt that language.
Is there a second? Okay. All those in favor of adopting that language, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say nay.
Aye.
Okay, the ayes have it, so we will carry that. Okay, that's it for my business. I think some of you emailed me like at midnight and like this morning and stuff, and I didn't add it to my agenda, so we'll have to do that in new business. Hang on one second. Let me go back. Do this. Okay. So if there are new agenda items, if there's...
Do you want everything into your email?
Hang on one second. So if there are new business items, let's do that by a show of hands. I'll call on you. You can state the new business item, and then we can put that into discussion. So, Stella?
Do we do one at a time or all three at a time?
One at a time, please. Yes. Okay. So, Stella?
Okay. One item is the IE events, maximum 7 competitors from what we discussed today. Then for the judge fees, supposed to one judge cover 7 entries. Is that right?
So all of that is set up by the tournament director. So the tournament director and the host, actually, I'm sorry, it shouldn't be the tournament director. It's the host that creates the fees and judge requirements.
Let me
answer your question. So if the host wanted to say one judge covers one entry, they could do that. Now, you're probably going to have a riot on your hands of people being upset, but they could set that standard. They could say, here's how many judges per competitors. That's established by the tournament host.
Well, I know you give the power to the host, but we are called a league, a community, local community, right? We need to have a community standard instead of the host create all the different standards. It's hard to put judge in if we don't know exactly. We have to read every fine line.
So are you making, rather than running commentary, what I want to know is, are you making a motion to put that into a rule that would adhere to that. Okay. So I think the motion is to have a requirement of how many judges per competitors. What is it that you're trying to say?
Yeah, perfect. Thank you so
much. No, I'm asking you, how many judges, how many competitors per judge?
My proposal is IE 7 entries per judge and the SPARS 8 entries, 8 competitors per judge and the Congress 16 or something numbers competitor per judge.
So 1 to 7 for IEs, and then 1 to 8 for Congress. I'll tell you just, hold on.
Okay.
The SPAR differentiation is really difficult. You can't do that in the tournament software. You just have like individual events, here's the ratio. And Congress events, here's the ratio. Debate events, here's the ratio. That's how it works. So.
Okay, the SPAR goes with the IEs, right?
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Then Congress, I think, is 16 or something. You know, the team, we can decide. Just something has to be around the room, you know, the maximum room number. If we have 16, it's 16, 24, 24.
Okay, so you're saying 1 to 16 ratio for Congress. Is that right?
Yeah, yes, that's right.
Okay. So is there a second to this motion? Okay. Is that a second, Mike?
Can I friendly amend?
Okay, thanks.
if I could clarify, the reason we go down to five is that the judge is not limited to one event. So although an event might be maxed out in seven in every section, there's going to be events that have three. And so when you talk about one for every seven, you are going to get into trouble covering all the different events that need to be covered with just one to seven. So that's why we go one to five. So I think five is a good amount. It's used internationally throughout all the tournaments everywhere. It's one to five. That's pretty much a standard. And if you're going to do a standard, I would say you go with something like that. Congress, I could see you going a little higher than five, just because we do bigger sections. But again, there are tournaments that don't do as big of sections as we do. So if a tournament, let's say if I want to run Congress at my tournament, I don't do 15 per round. I try to do 12 at max. So I'd want to limit that because I'm running the tournament. So I think there needs to be some discretion given to the tournament director.
So the friendly amendment is to reduce it down to five based off of the desire to keep it to have enough judges for the rounds. Is that what you're saying? Okay. So Stella, is that a friendly amendment? Are you willing to make that change?
Well, Mike, I really appreciate your consideration. We have enough judges. The only problem is,
Hold on. I don't want to open it for discussion yet. Are you willing to accept that as a friendly amendment? Yes or no?
You're asking me?
Yes, I'm asking you.
For IEs, down to five is okay, but not Congress.
Okay, so the current motion then would be 1 to 5 for IEs and 1 to 16 for Congress.
Well, Congress, he mentioned number is 1 to 12, right? So that's okay, yeah.
Okay, so you're willing to do 1 to 5 for IEs and 1 to 12 for Congress.
Yeah, that's minimum.
Okay.
Yeah, but we open to 1 to 7, 1 to 16.
Okay, hold on. I don't want to run commentary. I just want to know what the motion is.
Friendly amendment.
I'm sorry?
Friendly amendment.
Okay.
For Congress, the standard seems to be 1 per 10, and that seems like that across high school and middle school seems pretty clean. Would that be cool?
So 1 to 5 on IEs, 1 to 10 on Congress.
Yeah.
Is there a second for this motion?
Before I give a second or don't give a second, how is that different than what we have now?
I think the problem is that it's not explicitly stated in the bylaws. It's left up to the tournament host. And
okay, so
in addition,
we're adopting
the current standard of what we usually do is 1 to 5 for Congress for SCJFL. Jim, are you trying to talk about this or you want to make an amendment?
Yeah, I was wondering if we're jumping the gun here, wouldn't the first motion be to remove it out of the tournament director's hands and put it into the bylaws?
I think that's what the motion is to say it should be removed and put into the bylaws. And here is I think you're right. The motion has two parts. It's got two mechanisms. So maybe you're right. Maybe we should split this motion into two parts. So I think the first motion is, do we want to specify in the bylaws what the judge ratio is? Judge to competitor ratio. Is that acceptable, Stella, so that we can break yours into two parts?
Sure.
Okay.
Well, you guys can jump in since my youngest were kind of limited sometimes. Yeah.
Okay, so I think the first part of your motion is, should we take this off of the tournament host's hands and put it into the bylaws? So is there a second on that motion?
Sure, a second.
Okay, so is there any discussion that needs to happen on that? Okay, all those in favor of adopting a bylaw that would restrict, I'm sorry, that would specify the number of judges per competitor. All those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed?
Nay.
Nay.
I think the nays had it. So, do you want to do a show of hands? This is close. I think I saw a nay, so let's do a show of hands for clarification.
Can we repeat what this motion is?
The motion is to specify in the bylaws the ratio of judges to competitors, as opposed to allowing the tournament host and tournament director to determine that. So let's revote by show of hands. Those in favor of putting this into the bylaws, as opposed to keeping it in the tournament host's hands, please raise your hands. Those of you wishing to put it in the bylaws. Those who would rather keep it with the tournament hosts, can you put your hands down? keeping it in the hands of the tournament hosts. Okay, what? Okay, there's two. I'm seeing two votes from the same school. Ricardo, which way are you voting?
I'm not voting.
Okay, your hand was up.
I was trying to speak.
Okay.
I had a question.
Okay.
Would this impinge on the forensics tournament situation that's confusing where you have judges per pattern versus judges, would this have an impact on that? Because I'd love clarity on that. You don't have enough coverage for pattern B, which is confusing, but this would clarify it greatly. Is that the case?
I'm not sure. I mean, it would impact the... It's just basically saying, will the rules tell the tournament director how many judges to competitors we should have?
I think that would be great, because then we would all know exactly how much we owe instead of asking you constantly, are we covered now in terms of patterns?
I think the problem that has been happening is that people haven't been registering correct. When you have so many different events that are happening in different patterns, when you have Congress and debate and IEs, and they're all happening at the same pattern time, and you're registering one judge for Congress and you're also wanting to judge IE, that's where things start getting really complicated. So we can handle that in a different discussion, or I can walk you through it and try to show you, but that's a different discussion than this.
I'm asking if this would clarify that, because then I'm voting yes. I mean, I would like to vote yes if we can on this. You know.
Okay, but your school is split, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're right in the middle of a vote. I want to try to be clear on this vote. So let me take the vote. I see some people have some hands up, but let me get clarity on the vote. One more time, because Evan, you were also kind of like this, and I couldn't tell if you're voting or not. So really clearly, those wishing to have this reflected in the bylaws, please raise your hand. Those wishing to not have it reflected in the bylaws and kept with the tournament director, raise your hand. Okay, so it looks like this will be reflected in the bylaws. Okay, now the next question, I think, is what is the ratio? So, Stella, you had the floor still. Your ratio, if I understand correctly, was 1-5 for IEs and 1-10 for Congress. Is there a ratio for debate?
Well, my students don't do debate that much. I have no experience, so somebody else can step in for their proposal.
It's currently 1-2. The status quo is 1-2.
Usually 1-2, yes.
Yeah.
So, Mike, and then Jim.
So we've got to be clear here. When you sign up for 1-5, that means that you are available for all rounds. All rounds. And if you're not, you have to make it up with the judge that can cover those rounds. What we've been getting is somebody signs up and they're like, oh, well, I can only make the 1 o'clock and the 2 o'clock round. And so we don't get them for the full round. That's not a judge obligation. That is a partial judge obligation. So as long as this language has that in it, I'm okay with putting in these guidelines, but I am not going to go through tournaments where people say, oh, I didn't sign up for 3 o'clock, because it kills us. And I would suggest anybody who disagrees that they run a tournament and try to go through that, because it's not fun at all.
Hold on. Wait. You're out of order. James?
I guess the only thing that I would want to add into that is regional issues. So let's say I wanted to host a tournament face-to-face here in Northern California. I really don't know how many schools would attend or show up. And that really has an impact on how many judges I would need to bring in. If I only have three schools, they can't judge anything, really, because there's somebody of them in every round. So, like, I think it's a bad idea to mandate in the bylaws there. I think it should be up to the tournament director, but we've moved on from that, so I'll be quiet now.
Kate?
I'm just wondering, as we are tackling the issue of online versus in-person, whether or not there are ramifications going forward, especially if we decide to try and attempt some form of a hybrid system, whether or not we are kind of putting the cart before the horse, because there seems to be a lot of open questions in our league about how we're going to manage systems going forward. That's my only concern.
Does anyone else wish to speak on this issue? Okay, the motion, as I understand it, is to put in the bylaws that the ratio would be 1-5 for IEs, 1-10 for Congress, and 1-2 for debate. Is there a second on that? Mike, is that a second or a comment?
Friendly amendment.
I'll vote yes on this if it has the language that it has to be a full obligation. It can't be a partial.
Are you friendly with that, Stella?
Actually, we are. IEs already is 5, and only thing really impacted Congress. Congress from 5 to 10, and also, frankly, not many people school in Congress either. So it's not a huge impact to your jazz allocation there.
I think that's because the ratios are pretty standard as is. Like, I think what we've been doing is pretty industry norm.
But can we get the friendly amendment?
So are you friendly with that amendment, Stella?
I don't know. Could you?
He's saying that he would vote for this if you would include language that says these have to be full judge commitments, not partial commitments. In other words, the judges have to do all of the rounds that they're obligated for, not like just one or two rounds, which...
I got you. But frankly, from my observation in the past 2 years, most of my judges, you know, just got no assignment,
but
or some judges...
Hold on, Stella, I want to avoid the conversations. I want to know if you are okay with this friendly amendment. Yes or no?
No.
Okay. So that does not sit well as a friendly amendment. Is there a second for this?
Can I make a suggestion there?
It's your amendment. We're in the middle of a motion. It has not been seconded. So let me call for the second. Is there a second on this amendment? Okay, so this amendment fails. There's no second. Is there another motion on the floor? I saw Kate, and then I saw Mike. Kate?
I move that we adopt the limitations with the stricture that judge coverage, that the ratio must be observed for all rounds.
Okay, so you're taking Stella's ratio and applying what Mike said to it.
I am.
Okay.
Because I like them both.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, all those in favor of adopting... I'm sorry, is there a discussion on that? Okay.
You
need to raise your hand and be recognized by the chair. So is there discussion on that? It looks like, James, you had something to say?
Yeah, I just had one question. If we do go along and vote on this, because it would impact my vote, if a judge during the tournament is like, oh, I can no longer do this, and then they become a partial, do we have to put something in the bylaws now that suggests what a penalty is for that?
Well, they have to replace him.
And if they don't?
Judge fine. Normal judge fine.
So, in other words, if you judge all of the rounds except for one, and let's say you bust out at the last minute, then you're considered not there for the entire tournament. Is that right? You did not meet your entire obligation.
For that obligation.
Okay. So Stella and then Kate.
Yeah, my observation is the jazz task is not evenly distributed. So 50% people just got overloaded 6 rounds or more, and double rounding per round. So and double call per round, and some judges never got single round per day. So basically, as long as the judge equally distributed, basically, if everybody got 4 rounds today and nobody get 6 rounds overloaded, nobody get 2 rounds less loaded, and then, you know, I'm fine with that. You know, basically, we don't penalize the people like doing 6 rounds and not available for the 7th round, got a penalty there.
So I'll try to explain that to you. The reason why certain judges have more responsibility is because of large teams that, you know, we can't use certain judges for certain events. So the system automatically it codes judges to say, all right, this is a higher priority judge based on the number of commitment rounds that they have. So the system automatically does that, but there's some judges that it can't use. It can't find a way to put those judges in. The problem that you're talking about where you have some judges who are judging round after round after round after round, it's because the coach has scheduled them to judge round after round after round after round. Let me just finish what I'm saying. If a coach doesn't want their judges to be overworked, then they need to find additional judges to take up those those slack rounds so that your judges could have a round off. So every round that you schedule a judge for, it's safe to assume that your judge is going to get a ballot. They may not, but you're entering under the assumption that they would get a ballot for every single round. And if you're not okay with that, then you should try to find other people to take up different round times. So there's no way we could put that in the bylaws to specify it. That's far too complicated.
I'm talking about exactly the same similar student in my same team.
Hold on. I was trying to clarify and answer your concern, but let me go to Kate, and then I'll go to, I think it was Mike.
Yeah, I just wanted to say exactly pretty much what Robert just said, and I've done it before. If I have a parent who says I can only judge these two rounds, I enter in another judge and I put them as an alternate, and then in the notes I put this person will be replacing so and so who can only judge rounds 1 and 2. And so sometimes I've even entered in a couple of extra parents just to provide that support for my, so that parents can be relieved so that they can go watch their kid in a round when we're in person or whatever, if I've got the parent support. Online, it's even easier. So your parents just kind of, if you can get your parents to work together, you can enter in a lot of extra judges and then ease the load on your parents who are volunteering.
Okay, Mike, and then Stella, that would be your second time. Mike?
So the one concern, too, is that what happens is we get somebody, and it's honestly Velasquez Lingyi that enters maybe 12 kids in Congress, and then all of their judges go to Congress, they can't judge Congress because all of their kids are in it. So it's not two judges, it's zero judges. And so, although there's an obligation that's met by the laws or the tournament, it's not helping the tournament whatsoever. So I would like to friendly amend the motion to say that the assignments must be specific to a pattern and not to an event.
So is that a friendly amendment, Kate, to assign the judges per pattern, not to event?
I'm fine with that. Whatever will make the tournament work better, I support.
The only catch with that, Mike, is that if there's debate and IEs in the same pattern, then that ratio is not going to work out.
With the exception when debates and IEs are in the same pattern.
Okay.
Agreed.
I think I can work that.
Okay.
Is there any other discussion on this?
Matt, how
you've spoken twice on this issue.
No, you say it will be my second time.
I think you've spoken twice, but let's give you the floor one last time. This will be your final time speaking on this issue.
Okay. One part of might bring up, that's a different issue. Basically, our IE events are only 3 rounds. A lot of time, Congress only 3. And debate has many, many rounds and ran 2 days. And our judge couldn't obligate it to do 2 days for our kids to do only 1 day event. And another issue is, I'm talking about IE events. For example, I have a student ABC, 3 different students. And to your system, supposedly equally same. But my student A got like 7 rounds assigned and double round assignment in 1 round. And then a student B got 0 rounds. Basically, it's now something parents ABC, student ABC judges, and they got different rounds. And also, I feel Kate is really lucky. You can assign parents, say, you work 2 rounds, the other parent works 3 rounds, around 3. But we don't have that luxury. We just put the one person in that whole round. If we can do that one, I prefer that way.
Okay. That's your time.
Parent round 1,
that's
2, 3. Yeah.
Okay, does anyone else wish to speak on this? Okay, so is there a motion on the floor? I'm going to call the previous question.
Previous question to Kate's motion with friendly amendment.
Is there a second to call the previous motion? To call the previous question?
I'll second my own.
Okay. All right, so all those in favor of adopting the language that the bylaws will reflect a ratio of 1 to 5 for IEs, 1 to 10 for Congress, 1 to 2 for debate, and be assigned per pattern, and that the commitment must be fully met by the judge, not partial. Okay, that's the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. Okay, the ayes have it. That carries. Okay, is there another new business item?
Robert, didn't Mike say, though, that if we went with patterns, that supersedes the categories of Congress or not Congress? Isn't that what he said?
With the exception of debate, when debate is in the same pattern.
Debate, yeah.
Okay, so is there a is there another new business item up?
Yeah, there is for me.
Okay. Oh. Ricardo?
Okay. So I was looking at patterns, and I saw that Duo was really, I mean, for various reasons, but even, you know, historically too, Duo has not been that huge of an event for us. So I would like to propose that we demote Duo to a twice, not every four tournaments, and replace it with either the two highest ones that I could see were Humorous and Declamation. I prefer Declamation to become once every four, but I mean the numbers say Humorous is even more popular. But either one of those two, I would like to swap in place of Duo. So Duo would go twice.
Clarification, just for your understanding, we went with Duo because it was much more populated, and in addition to that, we needed fewer rooms for people to participate because you could put two people in one room. This is back when we were obviously in person, and I think COVID has really affected the Duo numbers. I mean, hardly anybody's doing Duo right now, and that's across the board, not just for us, but that's at the college and high school level as well. So Duo numbers are just way, way lower.
Since we're
still online, that might be something that we do on a one-year basis or, you know, something like that. But just for a clarification, it was done because Duo numbers were huge and we needed to space save in that way.
So I'll take the friendly amendment that for at least for this 1 year coming up, that we either substitute Humorous or Declamation.
Why don't you pick one, and then okay, if someone disagrees, they'll friendly amendment that.
Sure. So I move that we plug in Declamation instead of Duo for this coming school year as the once every tournament situation, and demote temporarily Duo to a twice a year event.
Is there a second? Okay, that motion is not seconded.
I'm not second.
Okay, so it's seconded? Okay, so that motion is seconded. Is there any discussion on this motion? Kate, and then Ralph.
Now that schools will be coming back into session and clubs will be had live, I suspect that the popularity of Duo will be vastly increased, even though tournaments will still be remote. I think it was very hard for kids to compete in Duo when they were so physically separated. And I would be against the movement, especially since we are hoping at some point this year to go back to in-person tournaments, because I think that it's precipitous.
Ralph?
Well, at the risk of just repeating what was just said, that I think it is going to change this year. I think, and especially if we can get back on campus. And I think that it's important that we have that one event where you have a team, you have a duo, okay? And to remove it just for something that, like DEC, which I don't think is going to draw as well, I think would be a mistake. So I would like us to just stick with what we've been doing and keep Duo.
Okay. Anybody else? Ricardo?
Well, Evan had his hand up before.
Okay,
me.
I'm sorry, Evan. Evan?
No worries. Okay, so I guess the reason why I seconded this motion is because as much as I like Duo, you know, I did Duo, it's, if we look at the event numbers even before this year, or even before the pandemic year, like, Duo had much less entries, and I think it's in the benefit of the host school to get events that have more entries. I think it's in the benefit of kids, I think it's in the benefit of all of us that the more popular events get more time. And that's it.
Ricardo?
Right. And so I just want, Ralph, we're not going to eliminate Duo. We're just demoting it to twice a year instead of every single tournament. So I don't think it's a matter of eliminating Duo. Secondly, we're going to, for Kate's contention, we're going to do for sure online through the fall. We may go online throughout the whole year. Again, that will mitigate against the popularity of Duo. I'm only proposing this for this year, so I don't think it's unreasonable to go with a very popular, I mean, like I said, Humorous is even more popular. So if people would prefer to do Humorous, then let's plug in Humorous. They had 31 and more and higher, whereas Duo had like, you know, 4, 5, 6. So definitely we should go to where the demand is. And again, we're not eliminating Duo. And this is a one-year thing until situations change. I think it just makes more sense to make more money for the tournament and to respond to what the kids want, especially because we're going to be going online.
Does anyone else wish to speak on this? Okay, seeing as no one else wishes to speak, is there a motion on the floor?
I move that we consider swapping for this year only.
Call the previous question.
Okay.
Are you calling the previous question?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Okay, all those in favor of changing Duo to swapping Duo and Declamation out for this year, one-year term, all those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed say nay.
Nay.
Nay. Pretty close. Let's see a show of hands. Those in favor, raise your hands. And those opposed. So I see 3 and 3. So
I think Ricardo. Oh, right, one school.
Yeah, one school, one vote per school. So as the tiebreaker, I'm going to keep things the way they are. So we're just going to stay with Duo. I'm afraid of too much getting lost in the shuffle. So we're going to keep Duo as the main event. I appreciate the concern, though, Ricardo, and I don't totally disagree with you, but I think it's probably safer to just stay with Duo. So we'll move forward with the same schedule as previously aligned, with Duo being the repeat. Is there another new business item?
I have one more. We have my turn.
Evan just raised his hand.
I'm happy to defer because I'm about to switch methods of communicating. So have Ricardo go first. Okay. I just want to not end.
Okay, Ricardo.
Did anyone else want to? I didn't want to hog it. I have one more. But anyone else want to go before?
Well, I have one.
Okay.
Well, if you don't mind.
Go ahead, Saul.
The number G, previous item, bylaws do not address repercussions for teams that do not work in the tap room throughout the season, only for teams that don't pay fees.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I really understand that part. The thing is, you're talking about the tournament directors should be compensated from now and on, since nobody has so much time to volunteer there.
No, that's not what that's in regards to. That item was in regards to our league requires people to volunteer at the tournament sometime throughout the speech season. And we voted to basically say if a school doesn't do that, if they don't sign up and if they don't participate to help at a tournament, then it would be the same as like not paying their fees. Because right now there's no mechanism by which to say, hey, you haven't signed up to participate at the tournament. It's just kind of like you're expected to do it, but if you don't do it, we have no way to do anything. The bylaws only apply to the fees, not for failure to commit to working in a tap room.
Well, that's exactly what I mean. Basically, if you work in a tap room and you put a lot of energy into it, if you represent the league is supposed to be compensated, or the person really volunteer really services to be compensated. Since this fees right now, you know, it's not $8 anymore. It's really heavily charged by the team, heavily charged by the host. So the host.
What's the motion? I'm failing to see the motion.
The motion is we need remove that item. Basically, you know, if you join a team with $200 or $400 a league fees, you're already sufficient to be in the team to be part of activity. And right now,
so
you are double charged them.
You'd like to rescind the vote about having a mechanism by which to enforce teams to participate in the tab room?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Is there a second to rescind that vote? Okay, that motion fails. Is there another new business item?
Yeah, I have one.
Go ahead, Ricardo.
Thank you. Okay, so I was really impressed with the level of young acting on the part of many of our teams. We only had one kid in the finals of declamation for NOF Elementary. But I was really impressed with the young actors, and I think there should be another event for them. So I was thinking I'd like to propose that prose interpretation be added to elementary to give kids another venue. Now if there's concern that there's no room for it or something, then I'd like to propose that either it for this season only displace duo, which was very poorly attended, or that it be merged with poetry and it become like literature interp, and kids can either opt to do poetry or prose in that event. One of those options, either outright include prose.
Can I steer you into making one motion or the other? So why don't we begin with let's add prose, and if that flies, we don't even need to worry about replacing.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. Well, I'd like to respectfully request that 5-minute prose interpretation be added because we had so many great 5-minute declamations at NOF. So I'd like to propose that.
To be added to the elementary tournaments.
Yeah. Elementary. Yeah. Okay. Absolutely.
So is there a second on that?
Second.
Okay. Is there any discussion on this? Okay, seeing as there's no discussion,
I have a question.
Yep.
I'd like to know, how is it different from storytelling?
Storytelling is intended a little bit more for a younger audience. These are usually like fairy tales. Your target audience would be a group of kindergartners, whereas prose, the stories are a little bit more mature. That doesn't mean they have to be serious. They could certainly be funny in tone, like humorous in tone, but the intent is a more mature story and kind of a it's not so much of a typical story, like a storytelling kind of piece. There it certainly is some overlap, but it's kind of one of those you'll know it when you see it.
If I may comment, Mr. Dobson, you were one of the judges in the finals of declamation. I think you saw some really good kids, and it was like only one of my kids, so I'm not saying my kids would be benefiting from this, but I think it was wonderful, and I would like to give them one more venue of some good acting for those youngsters. Storytelling is kind of over the top acting to a certain extent, or overacting, and I'd like to give them a more of a serious acting option, and that's the reason for my proposal.
Okay, so seeing as no one elected to discuss, I'm sorry, is there further discussion on this? Okay, so all those in favor of adding prose to the elementary tournament, say aye.
Aye.
I'm sorry, there was something, somebody else that said something.
Okay, I'm trying to see, is original prose or interpretation?
No, this, the proposal was for prose, not original prose.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so all those in favor of adding prose to elementary, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say nay.
Nay.
The nays have it. Okay, is there any other new business? Evan.
Please let other people go first. I'm sorry.
Okay, Stella.
I'm proposing to have original prose poetry into the category, so that will increase the case to be, you know, academically together to make them really connected to the events.
So the event that we have, we replaced the name Original Prose and Poetry. And the event is called Original Interp, and we have that event. It's offered at the first tournament of the year, I believe. I think it's tournament one. I might be wrong about that. I have to go check, but we currently offer it. And
is it middle school or elementary school or both?
Middle school. It's offered at the middle school level. So is your proposal to offer it at the elementary tournament? Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah, that's right. Both.
Okay. So the motion is to add original interp to the elementary tournaments. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Is there any discussion on this? Okay. Seeing as there's no discussion, all those in favor of adding original interp to the elementary schedule, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say nay.
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 Okay, the nays have it. So that will not be added. Is there any other new business? Evan.
Yeah, proposal to reverse the way that Congress scoring, where the number one gets 8 points and then number seven gets 2 points and so on and so forth, to just make it be by ranks.
So,
second.
Okay, so does anybody not understand how this? Let me just try to clarify, because I think there might be some people in here that don't know. This is taken from the NSDA standard of first place equals 8 points, second place equals 7 points, third place equals this many points. And it's those point values that actually determine your placement. So unlike in speech, in speech, like first place is worth 1 point and you want as few points as possible. In Congress, your placements equate to points and you want more points. So the system is kind of tricked out that way, that you that there is a numbering system. But I think, Evan, one of the concerns that you've had is that it was confusing for competitors, and I think the new tabulation system masks that so that you don't even see it. And so it's all kind of behind the scenes. So I'm not sure if there's continual problems, but that's the current standard, I think, is that we're using that behind the scenes, and so that people aren't able to see, so it doesn't end up being confusing to students who are going.
Point of clarification on that?
Yeah.
I think we may jeopardize the students' ability to get NSDA points if we change that scoring system.
We don't. Even the NSDA doesn't do this anymore.
I wasn't aware of that.
Okay. So, any discussion on this?
Wait, friendly amendment then? Evan, can we use whatever the NSDA is using?
Well, I think the one thing I'd be in trouble with is that we already invented the system to do it. What you're suggesting is would not change anything except for us having to change the programming.
I think that the programming is flexible enough for us to go in and change that around.
So what does it look like right now?
The current system is that first place equals a certain number of points. And in this case, it's first place equals 8 points. You could change it. You know, you could say first place is worth 1,000 points. Second place is worth 20 points. You could do that. We don't, obviously. But the current system is that first place is worth a certain number of points. And in Congress, you actually want more points in order to advance. Unlike speech, where you want as few points as possible.
So what would it be replaced with? Just pure rank, Evan?
Pure ranks, correct.
Okay, is there any other discussion items on this?
So what is the maximum rank we have? Number 9, number 12, or what's the number?
Ninth place and beyond ties, and it's worth 0 points. So the lowest scoring position that you could get would be 8th place, and that's worth 1 point.
Let's see,
so it's basically inverting the system, right? The system was inverted so that if you get first place, it's worth a certain value.
Well, current NSDA is 10-point system, right, for middle school.
Not for Congress, not that I'm aware of.
That's the one I have been using for a long time. So it's 10 points.
Can you send that to me? Because I've not seen anything that says that.
Point of clarification. I just looked it up, and the NSDA has gone to ranking 1 through 6 now.
There you go.
Okay, then. I mean, they still have. I'll rescind my motion for simplicity.
Well, NSDA is 10-point system: 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, and then stop at 6. So basically, everybody got 6 points there. Maximum 10.
All right, so the motion was rescinded. I think maybe, I don't think that what we're doing is harming anything. Evan, I understand your concern. Maybe we should take some time, look at what NSDA is doing, make sure that we're very clear about that, and then come back and reassess.
That's fine.
When would that come back be?
Probably next year.
Could I motion that we simply adopt the NSDA system?
You can certainly motion that.
Okay, I'd like to motion that we adopt the NSDA congressional ranking system.
Okay. Is there a second? Okay, that motion is not seconded. Mike?
No point then.
Okay. Any other new business items?
Let's see.
Speak now or forever hold your peace.
Give me a second.
New business.
Who is talking?
Evan, are you proposing something?
I'm attempting to, but okay. I can't tell if someone's speaking over me.
No, you're good. Evan, what's your proposal?
I would like to propose that, having the parliamentarian ranking count, towards ELIMs, counts for breaks, because we have them in there, and that's what the parliamentarian is supposed to do. Right now, their ranks don't really count.
The parliamentarian rank is used as a tie break. So the current...
It's also in the current system, right. I'm saying, as adjustment with the way that Congress tournaments now are, that...
It should be calculated in the decision-making, basically a fourth judge.
They're the one judge that ranks one through everything.
Okay, so you're essentially a fourth judge, right?
If assuming there was one judge per round.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. So does everybody understand that motion?
Regarding to that motion, could we really finalize how we choose the parliamentarian in each tournament?
They are hired based on whoever's available and who's got the ability to do it.
So who determine who got the ability? So
the tournament director finds them.
Can we have a committee to determine? I found out we use the same parliamentary all the time for the whole year.
I would be happy to use any additional parliamentarians so long as they know how to do it. That's the biggest struggle I have as a tournament director is finding someone to be parliamentarian.
We really need a Congress or debater before and for high schoolers, and then they go to elementary or middle school to be the parliamentary.
I don't think that we've had anybody.
We do, but you never ask us. You know, we do have those people. And
submit them, please. Can, yeah, for sure. We'll pay them.
Okay. Yeah. We need just guarantee that the professional services. We need that part. Yeah.
The problem is your parliamentarian can't have a conflict with the students. So if it's someone that's at your program, that's not it. You know, we can't. A lot of the students that have been parliamentarian have been from Wilshire because Wilshire hasn't had anybody in Congress in a long time. But there's other people that we've hired out from, other programs. And you know, we hired people from Alameda Country Day who also doesn't have anybody in Congress. So we got to make sure that they're clean. It's not fair to have them.
Well, that's another problem. They don't have a program. They don't know how to do it properly. So that's a really...
That is a problem.
The events is really jeopardy.
Yeah, I have a question. May I comment? I mean, so Robert, the problem I think with that is that analysis is that in the middle school level, we do have kids who are quote unquote not clean because they're actually competitors in the room and they handle it. So clearly we're able to overcome the lack of cleanliness and actually be having the PO be a competitor at the middle school and high school level.
You're talking about parliamentarian or presiding officer?
Oh, I guess, yes, I've seen the parliamentarian be a presiding officer, so I think I am conflating two things, sorry.
Yeah, I'm talking about the parliamentarian who's in charge of knowing the rules and, that's the authority in round. So if no one serves as presiding officer, the parliamentarian takes over.
Yeah, that's the problem. If we don't have a qualified program in that school and then they behave, become a parliamentarian is not fair to any student at all.
I would agree. I'm happy to adhere to that. I mean, I say me, but I'm sure any tournament director would probably take you up on that offer because that's one of the biggest headaches I have as a tournament director is finding qualified parliamentarians.
We can take an election. You know, if this parliamentary serves not good in this round, then we have
to. Okay, but hold on. The proposal on the floor, we can take this up in new business. The proposal on the floor is to include parliamentarian ballots as a calculation in determining rank. So I can't remember if that was seconded or not. I think that it was.
It was.
Okay, it was seconded. So let me just get a second if there is a second.
I believe it's by Ricardo. Wait, oh, are we seconding my motion or his motion?
Let me just be clear about it. Does anyone second the motion to include parliamentarian rank in the calculations for students advancing into final round?
Second.
Okay. So now, is there discussion on this item? Okay.
That's the condition I bring up. We need qualification of parliamentarian first before we can use that one as a vote. Since right now we don't have really professional parliamentarian, we could not include that one as
all of the of the parliamentarians would also qualify as judges. They have to already. So, like, they have to have eligibility to be a judge. They have to be at least a sophomore in high school to judge middle school. They have to be at least in seventh grade in order to judge elementary. So that's already the standard.
But parliamentary has more power than the judges. Since they talk, they control the whole room.
Okay.
So this
thing,
if not professional, I prefer no ranking considered.
Okay.
I'm happy to make that a friendly amendment, just as long as we have qualified parliamentarians.
But what is the qualification process?
Well, we need student to vote is if it's okay or not.
I mean,
the survey, if the
could say, as a friendly amendment, we've already talked about how judges should be NOF certified. We could make sure that they are NOF certified for parliamentarian.
It's different, the parliamentarian already can be miserable to any kids, and then they're world counted double misery to the kids. So it's not fair to the kids to compete in Congress anymore.
I'm not sure how to go about solving the issue that you're saying. You're saying they need to be qualified. I don't know how to qualify them.
We need to do a survey. You know, if all the students vote this parliament out, they should not be parliamentary anymore in our league.
So if who do we survey? We survey students who
are... Students do the survey. If the parliament do the good job, you know, if not good job, just out of it. Because you are paying the parliamentary and they don't do the services and...
If we do that, if we did a survey and the students said we don't like this parliamentarian and we don't like that parliamentarian, and there's no one else that will do it, who do we get to be a parliamentarian?
Right now we have the issue of parliamentarian, and then we try to add a rank to make them more powerful is even bad. So we don't make it worse. So right now,
the motion currently is to add parliamentarian rank into the consideration. Let's deal with it one motion at a time. So
I would be willing, to a friendly amendment it to be like, parliamentarians will get the ability to rank one through however many kids in the round, but they're not ranking each round. They're ranking holistically of the three rounds combined. And that at the end of the three rounds, that the students get a survey saying, did you feel your parliamentarian in your chamber appropriately? And we can design that later.
Hold on, wait. But I want to understand, is the survey, the results of the survey indicative as to whether or not we should allow that person to be a parliamentarian in the future?
So there's a variety of ways we can handle it. We can either...
I want to know what you're proposing.
I'm saying, like, I'm allowing us to be flexible in how we handle it. Like, we can either some coaches then train that parliamentarian if they want to continue to do it, or B, we have to find other people, which, you know,
but
like...
I don't want to propose options. I want to know what your proposal is. So far, the proposal is to include parliamentarian rank and to have them make a survey, have the term director make a survey afterward to the people in that Congress tournament?
I don't think we'd have to make it like the term and director responsibility. I think we can create one and then just we give it to at the end of each kid at the end of round three.
But how does that go out?
Like we put a
the tournament director has to do that.
You mean they have to send it out?
Well, how else do the students get the survey?
Like, it's distributed by, like, someone from the... I'm saying that they don't have to create one each time. They just use the same SCJFL copy.
But it has to be distributed, right? Somebody has to send it out to people.
Sure, I mean, the term director can designate someone to just go to each Congress round and do it. Like, literally any of us as coaches.
Well, survey by email. Go back coaches will be influenced by what coaches say.
Okay. So can I propose that you split this? These are two different issues. You're talking about the qualification of a parliamentarian, and you're conflating that with the scores. And I think these are two different things.
Sure. I was just trying to acquiesce. Yeah. I'll stick with my original amendment of the parliamentarian ranks, and then we will discuss how to do parliamentary certification.
So the issue at hand, going back to parliamentarian ranks, should parliamentarian ranks be considered in the ranking? Currently, they're a tie break. They're not considered in the overall rank. So they're just considered a tie break. So is there any discussion on that?
It's a good idea that happens in other Congress tournaments.
Okay.
If you have no doubt in the fight, I'd appreciate a vote.
Okay, so somebody's really bad. Okay, there we go. All those in favor of adopting the parliamentarian rank as part of the ranking system, say aye.
Aye.
I can't tell if that was a vote, Ralph. It was kind of a sigh.
I'm sorry. The discussion became so convoluted that I'm not sure what I'm voting for.
So let's clarify.
I like the idea of adding the parliamentarian.
The motion on the floor is that the parliamentarian ballot would count as a rank in terms of determining which students advance to elimination rounds.
Okay.
Yeah.
This was Evan. Let me finish. This was Evan's original.
Correct.
Motion.
Correct. Okay. So I'll recall again. All those in favor of adopting the motion on the floor of adding parliamentarian ballots, say aye.
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 Those opposed, say nay.
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 Okay, so by my count, it's a tie, and I would vote to agree with this. So we will add parliamentarian ballot. So I got to make sure that Danny can do that, but I think that he can. I don't think that's going to be an issue. So the parliamentarian ballot will be included in the ranking of students to get to elimination rounds. Now, Stella, did you want to propose something about qualifications for parliamentarians? Stella, are you there?
Yeah.
Did you want to propose something about the qualification for parliamentarians?
Okay. I propose a committee to determine who is the parliamentarian.
Okay, so you want a Congress Parliamentarian Committee?
Yes.
Okay. Is there a second for that? Okay, that motion fails. There is no second. Is there any other new business?
Yes.
Okay, Evan.
I motion to have at the end of round three that the chambers vote for their favorite presiding officer, and it count as like a small award. It would count 1 point towards sweeps, and like it's a smaller gavel than the winner of the final round.
So instead of determining the trophy, can we just? I mean, that would be left up to the tournament director, and I don't want to get into writing all of that.
Sure.
But I think what you're trying to say is that there would be a ballot sent to students to vote for their favorite parliamentarian, or sorry, their favorite presiding officer.
It would be determined by, or the parliamentarian could send it out at the end of round three.
Okay. Is there a second for that?
Second.
Okay. All those in, is there any discussion about this? Okay. All those in favor of voting for a top PO per round, I'm sorry, after the three preliminary rounds, all those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed say nay.
Nay.
Okay, the ayes have it. We'll have a, let me just write down this, hang on. Okay. All right, is there any other new business?
Yes.
What you got? Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to provide context before. So for context, we have a whole list of tiebreakers that the bylaws go through in terms of like why either A, kid broke, or whether one kid received second instead of third place in the final round, right? We have a whole tiebreaking procedure that we use. My proposal is that on forensicstournament.net, this is already built into the system. I've seen it happen at tournaments. Dan wouldn't have to do anything. That it shows which tiebreaking procedure was used when there are tiebreakers used, like for kids placing a breaking.
Yes, I think that was already the standard. I think he changed it recently because of it getting confusing. And I think now it just lists what the tie breaks are on there. So I think that's already status quo. I don't think that, let me back up. I don't know that we really need to take a vote on this because it's already listed in the bylaws. You can see what the tie breaks are in the bylaws. And second, let me just finish.
Sorry.
I think secondly, I think a tournament director should be transparent. They should be saying, here's the tie breaks that we used so that it's easily seen. So I don't disagree with you. I think it's already there, but I was talking to Danny about this recently and he had to pull them off. I think it was for clarity's sake of like how he wanted it displayed, but I agree. And I think if we're taking a vote to say we should tell everybody what our tie breaks are, the tie breaks are already there in the bylaws. You just got to look them up.
I hear what you're saying. My thing is that I think when tiebreakers are used, that like there's a little code of like which tiebreaker was used in that scenario.
I know what you're talking about, but I'm telling you, I think he took that off for clarification, and then he put like a new link to like what the tiebreaks are, something to that effect. But it's already standard.
I'm saying that that's not as efficient as the model I'm proposing.
What's the model that you're proposing then? How is it different?
The previous system where like on the results section, like to the right of what placement they got, it shows which it would be like TBR and then like A1 or something like that, whatever the code is.
Or like JP, which is judge preference.
Thank you. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And that's what I think he wanted to eliminate because it's his site and he wants it seen easier. And then list off, here's what the things were. I could talk to Danny about it. But I think it's dilatory to take a vote on this because it's not something that's in our purview anyway.
Okay, you talking to Danny would suffice.
Yeah.
Is anyone else new business? I don't want to.
Go ahead.
God, sorry, there's a fly attacking me. Okay, yeah. I would like to propose a bylaw amendment to change which weekend we put SoCal Champs.
To change the date for SoCal Champs. Okay, so mm-hmm. Is what date would you like to change it to?
That I am flexible on. However, I just know that the current weekend always conflicts with the middle school tournament of champions, and I think that we should be prioritizing middle school conflicts over high school and college conflicts like AFA or Pyro or Chess of State. I think like we should maximize the opportunities for our kids to compete.
Okay. So I need a date to change it to. Just saying we should change is harder to do.
Well, it's not worth picking a specific date if people aren't on board with changing it.
Okay, so you want to do a straw vote to see if people are interested in changing?
Yes, if they'd be willing to adjust it.
Okay, so just as a straw vote, how many, as a show of hands, can everyone raise hands as to who would be interested in changing the date for SoCal Champs? Okay, I only see your hand being raised, Evan. So rather than going through a long discussion, I'm not sure that that one is going to pass.
Would anyone be willing to explain their reasoning? just so for my own knowledge.
What's your reason?
Oh, my reason is that it conflicts with the middle school tournament of champions, and that we should be off, like, providing opportunities for kids to compete as often as possible and prioritizing conflicts of middle school tournaments over high school, college.
But do we know when middle school TOC will be next?
It's always the first weekend of May.
Oh. I sent my top kids to TOC, and I sent my second-tier kids to champs.
Any other discussion on this?
Yeah, I mean, like, to avoid the situation Ricardo just, you know, brought up, like, that's why I would propose.
I understand. You asked for discussion. I'm asking for anyone else who'd like to speak on this.
Oh, yes.
Okay, seeing there's no one else that wishes to speak on this, is there any other new business? Okay, seeing as there's no other business, I think that concludes the meeting. Would anyone like to make a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor of adjourning until next year?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No, make it hard.
All right. Thank you all. I'll see you next year.
Until next year.
Thank you, Robert.
Thanks, guys.